everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is episode 31. What we're going to talk about in this show is your legacy drawer. In other words, that file cabinet or that drawer in your file cabinet or that three-ring binder or whatever it is you choose to use that secures all of your important documents. And some people call this legacy file or legacy drawer. I'm choosing to call it as a legacy drawer because mine is a drawer. And so what do we need to put in there? Why should we have it? Some tips and tricks as to how to keep the information secure, that kind of thing. We're going to talk about that today. But before we do that, let's take care of some news and updates and business, that kind of thing. First of all, I want to make sure that you're keeping up to date with the website. There's changes on a regular basis and want to make you aware of those. So be sure that you are visiting the website. This is particularly for those of you who are downloading the show through iTunes or something like that. Make sure that you visit the website regularly just to see if there's any updates. I'm working on trying to make things more automated so that everybody is aware of the updates, which brings up the second thing, and that is if you're not subscribed yet to our update email list, be sure you do that. You can do that on the right column of the website. There's a place there where it says subscribe, and you can subscribe. That will allow you to get the automatic updates when there is a new post that is made or something that is changed on the website so that you can be aware of that. You also want to, I would appreciate it if you share us or like us on Facebook and Twitter, that kind of thing. If you are appreciating what you're learning and you want to let other people know about it, that's one of the best ways you can do that. You can also do that in the right column of the website. There's a link there both for letting other people know and following us as well as sharing us on those two forms, and I'm working on trying to do some videos, put those up on YouTube, but for now, you can follow on Twitter and on Facebook. And then also, if you're not a member yet, I can encourage you to become a member. That'll allow you to actually put in some feedback under each of the episodes or something like that, and that would be of benefit to me because I'm always looking for feedback, which brings up the next thing, and that is feedback. You can provide feedback in a number of different ways. You can do that on the left column. There is a place where you can actually do a contact me section. There's all right there. You can fill in all the blanks, send it off. That's probably a really easy way for you to do it. You can also contact me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. You can also give feedback through iTunes or whatever other form that you are downloading this. I'm sure whatever it is, whether it be Sketcher or whatever it is, you can find out how to provide comments that way, and that would give me feedback. You can also give, if I haven't mentioned already, you can give me feedback directly through the show notes. And so those are the ways you can give me feedback. I would love your feedback. If you have questions, shoot me some questions, and I'll try to answer them the best of I can. Maybe I'll even make a show out of it. And so I want to be able to stay in touch with you. I don't want it just to be a monologue. I want to be able to communicate with you. And so provide me with feedback. A couple people have responded, and I appreciate those of you who have done that. Also, if you want to consider supporting the show, you can become a Legacy Partner. And our Legacy Partner program, you can see that under Sign Up Membership tab. And then there's a member special page. And on that member's page, there's about $50 worth of value so far on there. There's a debt snowball spreadsheet that you can use. There's also another database that has all kinds of information about planting thing. It's a grow chart. And then there's also a discount to GrowVeg. And GrowVeg is an interactive online planning guide for your garden that allows you to map out your garden and make sure that you're placing things where they need to be and allowing proper space and keeping track of that from year to year. It's a great resource, and so if you are into mapping gardens, I recommend that you get that resource, and you can do that through the members page. In order to become a member, you can become a Legacy Partner and support the show at less than 25 cents an episode, and you do that through PayPal, and it's either $3 a month or $30 a year for that membership, and I would appreciate that. That would help me out as well as allow me to provide better vendors as we get more people doing that. So appreciate that. That takes care of the business for today. So let's go ahead and talk about a legacy drawer. Now, what is a legacy drawer? Well, basically, it's a file folder or a drawer or a three-ring binder or even a box would probably be the least best case, but some people just put it into a box. But what it is it's it contains all the really important documentation in it, directions on where you might be able to find additional documentation that might be needed. So if you can't put it all into the file itself, then there are directions on where you can get the rest of that information, that kind of thing. And it's all right handy put together in there. And so that's what a legacy drawer is. And it does not have to actually be the documents. We'll cover this here in a little bit, but it doesn't actually have to be the documents, but it does have to be instructions on how to access those documents if need be. And so that's what a legacy drawer is. So why do we have a legacy drawer? Well, obviously, we are into building a legacy, and one of the requirements for us to be able to build a legacy is by being able to provide multi-generational abundance. And sometimes that's a tangible thing, such as financial resources. Sometimes it's something intangible, like a spiritual heritage. And then sometimes it's just being able to provide organization and information that would make it easier for heirs or for others who might take on certain responsibilities if you are unable to. And so that's what the legacy drawer is for. It makes it easier for your loved ones to access the information that is needed if you were to die. It also makes it easier for your caretakers if you become incapacitated, such as a disability or, you become, you get some kind of disease or something, unable to communicate, unable to get around, that kind of thing. This allows you to do that. And then number three, it makes it convenient for a trusted individual to have access if you're away. So let's suppose your family goes on a vacation, they're away, and something happens, and you need to get a hold of some emergency contacts or something like that that's in your legacy folder, and whoever it is that you have contact with, that you have a trusted individual, they're able to go into your house, get that legacy drawer, they're able to find it right away because it's organized correctly, and that allows them to be able to give you the information that you need that you might not be able to get to otherwise in an organized fashion. And then finally, it also makes it convenient for you to access if the need arises. Sometimes you might need an insurance claim form, or you might need some kind of documentation or something like that, and if you're always having to figure out or remember where you placed it, it makes it more difficult. But by doing this, you can actually find it more quickly and have it readily available to you so that you can access it even when you need to, even if it's not necessarily an emergency. So that's why we want to have it. Now, what do we want to include in the legacy drawer? Well, there's a lot of different things and there's a lot of different items, and I'm going to direct you, if you want the full list, there's a website that actually sells legacy folders, and they actually call them legacy drawer filing folders or something like that, but they have a list of all the different items that are contained in their legacy drawer folder, and if you want to purchase one of those, I think they're like $40 or something. I'm working on trying to get them to be a discounted vendor in our legacy partner program membership, but so far I haven't been able to do that yet, but they may be. But anyway, this is what you want to include in there. But again, I won't be able to put the whole list on show notes or anything like that, but you can access them there. One of the first things you want to put in there is special instructions. So you want to be able to include in there a piece of paper that has instructions as to what you want done for the person who might be reading this. So it's not a will necessarily, although it is maybe some special instructions on how to acquire the will, maybe some special instructions as to how the folder is laid out, how the drawer is laid out, how to make it the most useful for the person. Maybe it's just some information about some requests that you might have, something like that, special instructions about who to contact, what your wishes are, those kinds of things. And then also included in this legacy drawer is some emergency phone numbers. This is going to be phone numbers for family members that you want contacted in case of an emergency, insurance agents that would need to be contacted, doctors, advisors that you might have, investment advisors or something like that that you might have, guardians for children, executors of trusts and estates, all of these kinds of people that would be needed in an emergency. You could even put in there, you know, fire and rescue or, you know, things like that, that you would, good friends, somebody who you could call in case of an emergency. All of these numbers, contact information needs to be placed in there, readily available, so that it's all handy. And you have to remember, too, that sometimes these things are not, you know, we think that now with all of our cell phones and all this, they're readily available and online and all this. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's nice to have it all in one packet or one piece of information. So emergency phone numbers. You also want to have in this drawer or file cabinet, whatever it is, identification information. So that would include things like marriage certificates. It would include things like Social Security cards. It would include things like copies of a driver's license. And I'm going to talk about this here a little bit later, but you can actually secure some of this information. Some people don't like to, you know, store their Social Security numbers and dates of births and all that kind of stuff all in the same place in case of a security fraud. The chances are if they're in your home, they're up to no good anyway, and they're going to take all that stuff. But there's a way that you can more securely have that stuff on your person as well as, you know, in files or something like that, that would be able to have it available to you and yet not be so exposed to the public. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit later when I get to some of the tips that might be helpful for you. So identification information. You also want to have all your bank information, of course. This would be phone numbers of banks, account numbers of banks, your balances, all of those kinds of things, so that when they might be needed, you have those accessible. Now, obviously, you know, these things change over time, especially the account balance goes up and down. And so, you know, it's not necessary to have it exact, but, you know, if you're one of those who, you know, keeps between $2,000 and $3,000 or something in your checking account on a regular basis, well, then put $2,000 or $3,000 in there and as the account balance. You also want to have in there all your insurance information. So this would include, you know, life insurance policies, disability insurance policies, long-term care insurance policies, auto policies, home insurance policies, any liability insurance like a umbrella liability or some kind of business liability, although I'll get to business here in just a second. So all the various insurances that you might have on yourself, these need to be in there. And if you don't have the originals, you certainly want to make a copy and put them in there, or at the very least, a declaration page and a contact information so that you can know what is available, who to contact, how to get more information, what's to be expected, all those kinds of things you want to be able to have answered. And so the information on the insurance needs to be in there. And of course, just as you recall me speaking a few times ago about the importance of having a will, you need to have a will in this packet. Obviously, that should go without being said, but you need to have a will, one that's up-to-date, one that's notarized, one that is clearly communicated, and need to make copies of that, obviously. Put one of them here. Power of attorney, same thing with that. Someone, obviously, you need to give a copy to the person who's going to be the power of attorney, but you also need to put a copy here in your legacy drawer or legacy file as well. Advanced medical directives, this would also be included in this packet. Obviously, that would be of essential importance. And, you know, a lot of these things you're going to want to make several copies of. You're going to want to have a copy here in the legacy drawer. You want to give a copy to maybe the person that's going to be your power of attorney. Maybe if you have, a really good friend, a neighbor, parents, children, whatever it might be, who are going to be involved in making some of these decisions and have some of the responsibilities of your care if you're not there or if you die taking care of all the responsibilities associated with that. They all need to have copies of some of these things. And so make sure that you advance medical directive also. You also want to include in this drawer health records. Now, in the health records, you want to have immunizations. If you're immunizing your kids, they want to have up-to-date shot records, that kind of thing, immunizations. Any medications that you might be taking, you should have a list of all of those somewhere in your medical part of this file so that anybody who is assisting you or taking care of you or has to inform doctors, that kind of thing, that will be there for them to be able to easily access. And then you also want to have a brief history. Now, for some people, their history is longer than others. I've had a lot of broken bones and surgeries and things like that in the hospital. And so my medical record book is quite lengthy, so I don't have a whole thing there. But you want to include in it just some basic, especially if you've had like surgeries or operations or you've had problems with the heart or anything that others might want to be aware of that aren't listed readily available. They need to be readily available listed so that others can explain it and have record of it. So you want to have all your health records there. You also want to have ownership records. And by ownership records, I mean like vehicle titles. You want to have all your titles to your vehicles here, copies of them maybe, or the real thing. You also want to have real estate titles or real estate deeds. It shows your property. It shows your claim to the property, those kinds of things. You also want to have investment information. So if you have a portfolio of mutual funds or stocks or bonds or those kinds of things, you want to have a record of those. Basically, so all of your assets are accounted for so that people know, you know, what you have and where it's located and how to access it and execute the will if you were to pass away or to take care of any responsibilities that remain if you still are alive. You also want to have in that packet or in this packet, you also want to have any business information. So if you are self-employed or you own your own business, you want to include in that, of course, any legal documents that set up the business, showing you as shareholder, showing you as the owner or what kind of share you have in the business, that kind of thing. If you're a self-proprietor, you want to have in there your business license and all of the necessary paperwork that shows that you have set the company up properly and any kind of profits would go to you. So basically all the business information that is necessary, you need to have that in this packet as well. And then also you want to include in that any kind of employee benefits information. So if you don't own your own business and you work for somebody else, you want to make sure you have in this all the employee benefits that you have from your company. So that would include things like 401k, any insurances that you have through them, any kind of pensions that you might be anticipating that you might be able to receive or something that you're vested for already. All of these things need to be included in there. And then any debt information that you have. So this would include all your creditors, credit card accounts. It would also include your mortgage statements. It would include all the various people that you owe money to. Now, this is vitally important because obviously if you were to pass away, one of the main reasons for having a will and going through probate is to make sure that the will is proved, meaning that others come and if they have a claim on your estate because you owed them money, they are able to make that claim during the time of the probation or time of the will being probated. And so all your debt information should be there, readily available. Now, I'm hoping that if you're following the wealth building steps that I talk about, you're working on getting out of debt. And so hopefully most of you won't have anything to put there, and yet it is still important to have. And then you also want to have in there any kind of completion certificates that would be important to maintain or save. Now, some people want to put in there things like graduation certificates and diplomas and records of that nature. But a lot of times you can actually access these without a lot of difficulty and without a lot of pain by contacting the schools that you went to or whatever it might be that would be able to get those. And so sometimes people like to include these in them. You don't have to. It might be nice. But diplomas, honors, awards, certain things like that. Maybe you have certain military records that you want to keep as honorary tokens and pass those down, those kinds of things, achievements that you've received. This would be the place to do that also under the completion certificates. You also want to keep tax records. Now, IRS tells you want to keep tax records for 5 to 7 years. If you have a business, you want to keep them a long time. I have kept mine pretty much all the time. And you just have to keep putting in more space into your closets or wherever you might store them. But you need to have all your tax records up to date. Make sure that you have copies of anything that you've signed, all that, all the different forms and schedules need to be associated with that. So all your tax records. This would include not only tax records on a federal level and income tax, but it also include taxes such as vehicle taxes and real estate taxes and all the other kinds that we pay for as well. And then you want to have information on records that are not kept in the drawer. So this would be where, like, let's say you've got a safe deposit box down at the bank or at the savings institution that you use, and you obviously can't put the information that is in there. If you've got separate information there than what's in this drawer, you can't really duplicate. Well, you could duplicate those things, but you don't want to really transfer those over. And so you keep those maybe into a safe deposit box there. And you have to have instructions to whomever it is that would be reading this as to what that is to be used for, how to access it, what the rules are related to it. And that would set some groundwork for that. Now, one of the things that people have done in the past that just doesn't make any sense at all is they put all of their important documents, their wills, their power of attorneys, all these kinds of things in the safe deposit box. Don't make extra copies of it. And then Junior goes to help out Mom, who's had to go into the nursing home and sign some paperwork with a power of attorney. He knows he's been given power of attorney. He's seen the document. He doesn't have the document, but he knows that it's in the safe deposit box. He goes to the bank, and he asks the banker, the clerk there, that he needs to get into his mother's safe deposit box. But, of course, he can't because he doesn't have any proof that he's the power of attorney, because the power of attorney form is actually in the safe deposit box. So don't do that. Make sure that if you are going to be appointing an executor or appointing somebody to take care of your affairs or, you know, to be a guardian of the children if you're not there, make sure all that paperwork is given to them. There's also a copy made for this drawer. If you want to put a copy in the safe deposit box, that's fine, but there needs to be an additional one to where others can access the information without having to go and get power of attorneys to access those things. So anyway, those are the things you want to include in there. Let me give you just a few tips to help you in building this database of information that you need to put in there. First of all, on all important numbers like Social Security numbers, account numbers, things like that, it's probably not the best idea to just write those down and leave them there. It's, you know, say, for example, you've got an account at Bank of America, which I hope you don't have, but let's just say for the sake of argument, one of the biggest banks there, it would be Bank of America. So let's say you got an account with Bank of America. Well, you don't want to put on there the exact account name and number and where it's located, how much is in it, all that kind of stuff. That's, you know, that's just anybody gets a hold of that, they've got it. But what you can do is you can have an off-numbered system that everybody in your family knows. So let's say, for example, you decide to use, you know, one-off plus system. So when a Social Security number may be 555555, instead now it is 666666666. And you write that down on the piece of paper with everybody's understanding that you have a one-off system in your family for writing down important numbers. So then when they actually go to give out that number to someone, they will not read the 666666. They will know that there's a one-off number, so the answer is 555555, so forth. And so you can kind of use that as a security measure so that you can still write these information down, but anybody who would need to access it can do so when you let them know what the security code is or what your translation code is for that. Also, you want to make sure that you tell those who need to know what you have there. So let's say, for example, that you know, you want your sister to take the kids if you were to pass away. And you need to make sure that your sister knows that and your sister knows how to access these things and where they are. Same thing would be true if you have, you know, a neighbor that you want to be able to check in on things on a periodic basis. You've shown them where the key is maybe on the house or how to get in through the back door or whatever it might be. You need to make sure that they also know where some other information is that they can get that would be needed in case you were to prevail to provide that. So Anyway, hopefully those are some helpful things. Again, I'm going to show you. Go to www.thelegacydrawer.com. They can have some more information there. A lot of the stuff I've shared with you here is from that website, and they sell that material to you in a binder. And it might be helpful to you if you're a pretty unorganized person to be able to organize it all up. But it's important to get it done. Legacy Drawer will make the next generation love you. Well, they'll love you anyway, but it'll make the next generation much more appreciative of your forethought in making preparations for all of these things. Now, I know, again, this is probably not the most exciting topic to talk about. It's probably not one that gets you excited every day to wake up and go and, you know, experience, but it's something that is vitally important. And so I wanted to share it with you guys. Hopefully that helps. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?